Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's Dealer On webinar, SEO for Noobs. My name is Eliana Raggio and I'll be your moderator today. Today's webinar is being presented by Dealer On. For anyone who isn't familiar with Dealer On, well, we're an award-winning website development company and digital agency best known for our amazing SEO, the best customer service, and the highest converting website designs in the industry, including the award-winning Chameleon Responsive Website Platform. We're so committed to lead conversion, optimization, and customer service that Dealer On is still the only company in the industry that offers a money-back lead guarantee program. Does your website company guarantee you a 50% lift in leads or your money back? Maybe you should check us out at our gorgeous brand new Dealer On website at DealerOn.com. And hey, I want to let you all know, the Internet Sales 20 Group 9 Conference is coming up in Phoenix, Arizona, September 12th through September 14th. And we're going to be there. That's right. Dealer On is an official sponsor this year. And we are honored to send our very own Greg Gifford and Sean Raines to give some crazy good SEO and SEM presentations. They'll also hit on a special panel and dish out some tips and tricks and best practices. Don't miss this chance to hear from the best in the industry. For tickets or more information, check out DealerOn.com/IS20G9. We will see you there. And we've got a great show in store for you today. We're very pleased to have, oh yeah, now the slide comes up. We're very pleased to have Steve Shackelford as our presenter today. Steve Shackelford is the search and social team manager at Dealer On, responsible for running the team and contributing to overall SEO strategy. He's been in the SEO arena for over 5 years, with more than 4 of those years spent exclusively in the automotive vertical. His experience across multiple dealer website platforms and his gift for analyzing data is integral to the success of the Dealer On SEO team. He's becoming a popular speaker at automotive conferences due to his unique take on local SEO and his laid-back presentation style. And he can be reached at sshackelford@dealeron.com. Now, during the presentation, if you have any questions, please use the question feature located on the corner of your screen to submit them. At the end of the presentation, we'll answer those questions of general interest. If we're unable to get to your question live, we'll try to respond by email later today. Also, don't forget, a link to download a copy of this webinar recording will also be emailed to you later today for your reference. Please feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. And guess what? Our good friends at AutoHook are sponsoring this week's webinar giveaway. AutoHook is a showroom traffic driver, and they have built the ultimate attribution engine, which tracks that customer through the lead, showroom visit, and purchase, and then delivers a cost per sale that's best in the industry. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win a $250 e-gift card from AutoHook. You have to be on the live broadcast to win it, though, so stay tuned. And who knows, you could be the one walking away with this awesome prize today. And for more information about AutoHook, visit driveautohook.com. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, you're going to get a short survey. So fill it out, because we're always looking for quality feedback from our audience, and we want your opinion to be heard. And hey, do you tweet much? We hope you do. We'd love to see what you have to say about today's presentation. So please tag us in it. You can use hashtag DealerOnWebby. I'm at Eliana Raggio. You can also hit up Steve Shackelford at ST Shackelford. We look forward to seeing what you're saying. So let's get started. Let's learn all about SEO for Noobs. Steve Shackelford, how are you doing, my friend?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. And I have to say, for those of you who might be new to the Dealer On webinar series, I want you to know that this is not the first time by any stretch of the imagination, that we have done a webinar about SEO. This is, however, the first time that we are doing a webinar about SEO that would really be considered a beginner's session or SEO 101, as it were. All right. Normally, the ones that we do are quite advanced, and I've heard from some people, yeah, it does go over their heads. So we figured, hey, let's do basic SEO because we know a lot of dealers aren't getting this right. But you know what? We're here today, and Steve is going to show us the way. Thank you so much for being here, Steve.
No problem at all. Happy to be here.
Okay. So I know you have a ton to get to. Before we do that, why don't you tell the audience the kinds of things they're going to be learning about today?
Sure thing. We're going to learn basic SERP anatomy. You'll see that we're going to outline on-site signals and detail a few best practices there. Same thing for off-site. We're going to outline off-site signals and detail a few best practices. and then we'll do a brief overview of reputation management and social media. We'll have a giveaway, and then we'll wrap it up with a question and answer session.
Sounds good to me. Where do we get started?
Let's start at the top here. So I know what you're all thinking. Hey, what is SEO? I'm going to give you a basic overview of what SEO is and why it's important. So SEO stands for Search Engine Optimization. That's the Webster's definition there. And I know what you're thinking. Hey, I know what the words mean, but what on earth does that actually mean here? So essentially it boils down to this. Search engines show results for queries, and doing a little local SEO can really help you show up for more relevant searches. So let's start with SERP anatomy. Search engines show their results on what are known as SERPs. And SERP is S-E-R-P, and it stands for Search Engine Results Page. So anytime you perform a query, you're probably going to see something like this, especially if it's a local query like Used Cars Dallas or, you know, Ford Dealer Zionsville, something like that. So you'll see, hey, we've got ads at the top here. These are paid results. Then below that, we still got a little pack here called the local pack or local stack. And then we've got organic results. So the two non-paid options on the screen here when you do a search are local and organic results. Those are the ones that SEO is going to have impact on. And depending on your market, there could be a ton of dealerships fighting for just a few spots. So if it's Dallas, if it's Atlanta, Georgia, it can get pretty thin in the organic listings there. So a lot of dealers fighting for a lot of spots. So you want to know, hey, how do I get there? What do I just start doing? And, you know, Homer just looks so excited to take off in his monorail there. So we will go right along with him. So the first thing we're going to do is start identifying known ranking and quality factors, and then start impacting those factors with targeted on-site and off-site actions. So let's see how we get found in this fair city of ours here. We've got the local search ranking factors. Every year, the top local SEOs weigh in on what they're seeing as the top local search ranking factors. It can be a little hard to read there, but the big mama jambas there are on-page signals, link signals, external location, and my business signals. Review signals and social signals are a little lower in the overall weight, but definitely still important nonetheless. So we're going to start with on-page signals, the crown jewel of the local search ranking factors, and that actually brings me to my first poll question.
All right, audience, we have three poll questions for you today. The first one is on your screen now. We'd love it if you take part in our poll questions. Really helps us know what's happening in dealerships all across the country. So here's your question. How much time do you currently spend writing unique content every month? Please select one of the following answers. Is it more than 4 hours? Somewhere between 2 and 4 hours? Less than 2 hours? Oh, someone else takes care of that for you, or what? I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results. I also want to encourage our audience members, please don't hold back. If you have a question or a comment, send those in. We will be getting to the Q&A session afterwards. We're looking forward to some of your great basic SEO questions. All right. Okay. Oh. The votes are coming in really fast. Real quick, how much time do you currently spend writing unique content every month? Is it more than 4 hours, somewhere between 2 and 4 hours, less than 2 hours, someone else handles that for you, or I don't know how I'm supposed to do that? All right, Steve, when you're ready, I will close this poll and share the results with you.
Let's go. Close her on out.
Let's do it. Audience, thank you so much for your votes, and as we can see here, 29% of today's audience say they spend more than 4 hours a month writing unique content. Wow. 27% of today's audience said they spend between 2 and 4 hours a month. Only 4% of today's audience say that they spend less than 2 hours doing that task, which I'm sure they don't really care about, don't like. But the majority, 35% of today's audience, say someone else takes care of writing all that unique content for them. And the remaining 4% of today's audience just didn't know that was something that they had to do. Does that help you out, Steve?
Oh, helps a ton. Good to hear.
All right, back to you.
Cool. So, as we just mentioned, content is the most important signal for local SEO here. And what that boils down to is that, hey, you know, it's going to be kind of hard to show up for brake repairs if you never talk about brake repairs on your website. So you can try. It's just certainly going to be tougher. And your homepage is the most important page here. So there are a few basic things that every homepage needs, and I will gladly detail those now. So the first one, I'll go a little slow so you can write these down if you need to, but you're also going to get these slides afterwards, is a title tag including the city and state. Next one, an optimized H1 including city-state. The next one is an optimized meta description. Then we've got unique text content with city and state included. And this cannot be stock, default, or spammy stuff in any way, shape, or form. Then you've got to have alt attributes on all of your images. You're also going to need an embedded Google My Business map. And you'll also need your name, address, and local phone number somewhere on that homepage, either in the header, the body content, somewhere.
Okay, Steve, I'm thinking like a noob. Thinking like a noob, don't know much about SEO, putting my noob hat on. And we already have some people who wrote in, wait, what's an H1? What the heck is a meta? And what is an alt? What? So we already have those people, and I'm right with them. Are you going to go over that stuff, or should we save that for Q&A?
Yeah, that's actually what this entire deck is about there. So all of those things I mentioned, we will now detail all of those 7 items.
Beautiful. All right. Hold on, everyone. Here we go. We're getting to the good stuff.
So, yes, you're probably wondering yourself, Milhouse is getting his hair blown back here by, I believe, Bone Crusher on that episode there. But, you know, what's a title tag? You don't know. So let's go back. Let's look at a snippet here. What you're seeing here is known as a snippet. It's what you see on the SERPs after you perform a query. The title tag is what's going to show up in this highlighted area here. The title tag on your HTML doc is going to show up like this image in the middle here. You can see it's wrapped in a title tag. That's what the HTML looks like. And then if you want to see it visually on your website, you can look up at the top of your screen there. It'll be in the top tab bar.
Got it. So when you say that they need a title tag, is there a certain length that it can't go over?
Correct, which we will go through now.
People are asking the questions. I'm just helping them out.
No problem at all. So essentially I'm going to say, hey, do not spam your title tags here. And what I mean is, hey, look, we've got a pretty normal-looking title tag. Looks like we're targeting keywords that are appropriate here. Ford dealer, used car, some big boys. Here's what you might be thinking you need to do. You might need to show up for everything under the sun, so you're going to add in a bajillion things here. Don't do that. There is a specific length that this needs to be. The recommended character count is still right around 60, which is a pretty loose number, because not all characters are created equal. A giant W in all caps takes up a lot more space than a lowercase I. It just does. So you just have to test it on the title tags. There is no hard and fast rule on it's this many characters no matter what. Because really, it's built around pixel width. So what that means is on the search engines, on desktop, you have roughly 600 pixels. There's a little bit of padding on there. But you don't want to go beyond that if you don't have to. And there's tons of testing tools out there. If you just search for title tag, testing tool, Moz has them. Tons of people have them. And so when you're writing these, you're going to want to use a pipe separator to break up targeted keyword phrases in your title tag here. Another good rule of thumb here, don't lead with your dealership name. You're probably looking at this snippet right now and you're saying, well, man, how did Pearson Ford get that name at the front with the colon? Because that's not at all what I'm seeing in their HTML title here. So no big deal at all. If you have a short, concise name, add it to the end of the title tag on your home page and some other key pages to essentially establish a uniform tag structure. And then Google will reward you, in a sense, by moving your dealership name to the front of the title tag in the SERPs, but it doesn't take away all that authority that you're applying to your targeted keyword phrase of Ford dealer.
And what if they don't have a short cute dealership name.
Then it doesn't matter, but I still wouldn't lead with it. That's essentially the rule of thumb. Don't lead with your name, because I know they wanted to show up there first, but if your name is super long, then don't waste it by putting it in your title tag there.
Got it.
Cool. Another thing, don't add a bajillion cities there. Focus on one city per page in the title tag. And if your OEM does require multiple cities in the title tag, for example, just continue to follow their guidelines, but keep your primary city as close to the front of the tag as possible. Cool, and that was a little bit about title tags. As you saw, there's a lot of stuff the homepage needs, so I'm going to move on to H1s now. So you're probably wondering, hey, what is an H1 and where do I find it? So typically, it's going to be right above your main block of content here, and it's the primary heading tag on the page. So you can imagine an HTML declaration has H1, H2, H3, H4, H5, H6, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Search engines are really looking at that H1 to determine what this page is about. It looks at the title tag, it looks at the H1 as essentially a title and a heading for the page. You can see how it pulls up on the HTML doc right there. Just like the title tag, it is just wrapped in an H1 tag. It's text within that tag. And what you want to do there is reinforce your title tag without keyword stuffing. So, you know, no reason to go and put Honda dealer and car dealer and auto repair and brake repair in Roanoke Rapids, NC here. No need for that at all. Just, hey, our primary targeted keyword is Honda dealer in Roanoke Rapids. That's what we want to show up for. And don't waste your H1. I see this all the time. You know, it's fine if you want to put up welcome to our new website for a week or two or a month. You can put it in a different H tag, or you can just put it in a span that looks really, really big. For your H1, you really do want to try to have city, state, and then a good targeted keyword in there. Also, just when you are building these things, if you're starting to look at your text content, you're like, man, I see all these H3s everywhere and all these headings, and I don't really know what to do with them. Try to maintain the correct heading hierarchy, so don't have H3s appear on the page above H1s. And additionally, don't add multiple H1s to the same page. That's not going to help you. Don't think that, oh, if I add 10 of these things, I'm going to really show up well for it. No, don't do that.
Oh, that doesn't work?
No, unfortunately not. Anyway, a brief overview of H1s. Like I said, there should really only be one per page. Try to get it as close to your main block of content that's on your homepage as possible. Don't just have like an H1 floating somewhere at the top and then text way, way down at the bottom. Try to keep them grouped together there and just reinforce that title tag. So then let's go on to meta descriptions here. So let's go back to our search snippets. And real quick, meta descriptions are not a ranking factor in any way, shape, or form, but they do encourage click-throughs. So what you see in the highlighted area here is what's typically going to be shown from your meta description. Occasionally, search engines will change that portion of it based on the search query, but most of the time they will still show the meta description that you wrote. And you can go long here. It's not going to kill you. You'll see those little dot, dot, dots, the ellipses at the end there. But I do prefer short and sweet. Just mention all the key services offered there. Try to hit city, state, but really just make it enticing to click on. If somebody's searching for a Ford dealer, let them know that, hey, you've got that. I'm your Ford dealer. I do service, parts, and finance, and I got it for you. So now that we've done meta descriptions, let's start talking about just the text content that's on that home page. And so this is SEO 101. I'm sure you guys probably heard this a lot, even if you're barely new to SEO. Just, hey, write content that humans would enjoy. Don't try to just fool the spider. I mean, yes, there is a spider and a crawler coming out and looking at your website, but really, it's about humans. After you write that content, you really need to go read it out loud. That really helps a bunch, because if it just sounds ridiculous when you're reading it, it's not going to look great when you're seeing it on screen either. And seriously, do it, because my boss taught me this, and he'll get mad if I don't tell you to. And then I always recommend writing at least 3 to 4 paragraphs. you know, people want a lot of crazy stuff on their homepage nowadays, and it seems like text paragraphs get thrown by the wayside because people say it's a bad UX or something like that. That's fine. If you love all that other cool bells and whistles stuff, do it, but I still recommend writing at least 3 to 4 paragraphs detailing the services that you guys offer and the fundamental ways that your dealership's different. And the key here is unique, useful, and relevant. And I really want you to think about usefulness more than anything else. You're not doing this just to show up for stuff, just to show up for it. You want to make your website as useful as possible. So you probably just built a new website, you launch it out, and maybe you got a bunch of cool stuff, and then you realize that there's just stock or default text on that homepage or something that's really not that great and doesn't highlight everything you want. Hey, go rewrite it. It's not that hard. It's 3 or 4 paragraphs. All this stuff just takes a little bit of time. So alt attributes. All images need alt attributes, and essentially, this is what search engines see when an image doesn't show up. They also use it a little bit for indexing for image search, so you just want to make sure it has something on there. If you're on a dealer-owned website, for example, all images will go that matches the file name, I'm pretty sure. But anytime else you're putting up a slideshow and you're uploading it yourself or you're uploading an image to your own website, give it an alt attribute. There's usually a graphic user interface for that, but if not, you can pull up the HTML source and just write alt equals open quotations, and then just don't forget the slideshow images. Super easy. People forget that all the time, but when you're uploading banners, there's a little box there that just says alt. Write in an alt description. And what you need on those alt descriptions is a relevant description of the photo. You need the city-state where it's applicable. So let's say it's a photo of a 2016 Toyota Camry. 2016 Toyota Camry in city-state. Put a space, a hyphen, and another space. And then put the dealership name there. That way those images start showing up when people are performing branded searches, maybe if they're using image search. Now you've got just more things that'll pull up there.
Do you pull up?
And also.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, I was going to say, do you put, like, the color of the car? Like, would you put a silver car?
If it's relevant, that's the thing. The good rule of thumb is just the most relevant description there. So you don't have to put silver by any means. It's just really what the most relevant thing is. So if it's really about a 2016 Toyota Camry for sale in that city, just write that. If you want to put silver, go for it. You'll probably show up for silver searches a lot better, but the volume's quite pretty low for those.
And you don't put it – you just put it in like phrase form. You don't put it in like sentence form, right?
Correct, yeah. Typically just independent phrases, space, hyphen, space. Dealership name is typically how I do it. I don't like the keyword stuff here, just relevant description, dealership name. City, state, where applicable.
Gotcha.
Cool. So let's get on. So it looks like you need a GMB map, and that stands for Google My Business. And a lot of your websites probably already have a Google map embedded on them, but you can do a little bit better. You can get a Google My Business embed. Takes only seconds. So you're going to want to go to maps.google.com. Then do a search for your business name. And you're going to see a little sidebar like this on top of the hamburger menu. You'll see a share button. Hit that share button. You're going to copy and paste that iframe into your site. If you don't feel comfortable updating your website, feel free to send it into a support rep. If you're sending in an iframe, pretty much any provider is just going to go ahead and add that to the site for you. It's no big deal. And these really help because, as you can see, hey, now I've got my business's review stars right here. People can easily click from and grab directions. People can look at my reviews. They can read them right here. Not necessarily going to take them off the site immediately, and it's all embedded. It's pretty nice. So then after you get your map dropped in, this is an easy one. Hey, just make sure the name, address, and local phone number appear on the homepage of the website. Super easy.
Marge doesn't look like it's easy. She looks worried.
Oh, yeah. They do. They're not too good with iPhones. They're struggling. They want the headphone jack back.
Oh, no.
Cool. So we just looked back to our local search ranking factor slide. We went over on-page signals. Now we're going to take a look at external location signals and link signals here. This brings us to our next poll question.
Ooh, all right. Next poll question is on the screen now. Audience, you did so good with the first poll question, we're throwing another one at you. We want to know, how much time do you currently spend on building and fixing citations online each month? Please select one of the following answers. Do you spend more than 4 hours building and fixing citations each month? Somewhere between 2 and 4 hours? Is it less than 2 hours? Do you pay someone else to take care of all of those citations entirely for you because you're busy selling cars? That's cool, too. And then the last answer is, what? I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Hey, that's an answer, too. All right, so we want to know, how much time do you currently spend fixing and building citations each month? Once we get a majority of the votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results. And Steve, we already have some great questions coming in from the audience, so thank you so much. You've already answered a ton of them already with your descriptions about H1 and alt tags, so thank you about that. But audience, you have extra questions for Steve Shackelford? Oh, believe me, as you can already tell, he's very, very knowledgeable on this subject. So write your questions in. We are ready to help you master this class on basic SEO. All right. Votes are coming in fast. Real quick, one last time, let's get this question answered for Steve. How much time do you currently spend building and fixing citations each month? Is it more than 4 hours, between 2 and 4 hours, less than 2 hours? You pay someone else to do that for you? Or, to be honest with you, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Steve, almost everyone has voted now. Are you ready to see the results?
Absolutely.
All right. Audience, thank you so much for your votes. Here are the results. Only 6% of today's audience say that they spend more than 4 hours every month building and fixing citations. About 10% of today's audience say it's more like 2 to 4 hours. 18% of today's audience say, hey, I spend less than 2 hours doing that. Citations is not my thing. 41% of today's audience say, screw it. I'm going to pay somebody to do that. It's my least favorite thing in the world. And then 24%, almost a quarter of today's audience, said that they didn't know they were supposed to be building and fixing citations. Steve, does that help you out?
Helps a ton.
How much should we be spending building and fixing citations each month?
Depends on how bad your citation issues are.
Well, and would you have
more... If you're a brand new dealership, you're probably going to... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, no. Please, go ahead.
So if you're brand new, then you're not going to have any existing citations to begin with, which means you shouldn't have any issues, so you'll spend all your time building citations. But if you've been around for 30 years and you used to have a Plymouth dealership attached to you, you could still have zombie listings out there from 15 years ago that are creeping up. So really depends case by case on a dealership.
Okay, and would it matter if you are in a larger area, like if you were in Chicago versus somebody who's in a very rural town, or it doesn't matter? Anyone would have, I mean, how many citations are we talking about? Are we talking like 100?
Oh, yeah, depending on your market and depending on your vertical, and some stuff goes nationwide as well, so a Rolls-Royce dealer is going to be able to get citations from all across the country, where a Toyota dealer, people probably aren't going to drive more than maybe 40, 50 miles. So you're going to want to try to keep your citation sources within that range.
All right. Heather is raising her hand. She says she is a noob, and she wants to know exactly what a citation is. Will you be going over that?
We will, and perfectly reasonable question there. It's an odd place for the poll question. I apologize. So, yes, we will go over that.
Wonderful. Back to you.
Awesome. Cool. So we're actually going to start with links on this particular part of the off-site signals, and then we'll move into citations. And so essentially, Google sees which sites are linking back to you. All of these websites across the Internet link to other websites, just like your website does. And you need local, relevant links. You know, 5, 10 years ago, it was all about volume and, you know, just the highest domain authority possible and highest volume possible that could move the needle. Don't do that anymore. You need local and relevant. And the easiest way to do this is just basic PR. Get out and get involved. And you're probably already doing this. You've probably been doing this for 20 years, depending on how long your dealership's been around. So what you need to start with is leveraging your long-standing relationships to ensure that your links have been acquired. So what that means is if you've partnered with an organization for the last few years and they have your logo on their site but they're not linking to you, you got to say something to them about it. They know at this point that link acquisition was not the sole reason that you originated the partnership. So you just want to start by getting the most out of your existing relationships. I kind of call that link due diligence. You know who you're working with. Go manually check out sites. Make sure you're getting a link. And then after you've done that, hey, start thinking about building some new partnerships. And at first glance, you may say, well, that seems pretty super shady if I'm just going to start building new partnerships for the sole purpose of link acquisition. But that's not really it. We're not selling anybody anything. We're trying to provide value for them, and then we're just going to experiment with what works. And if you're trying to figure out, hey, how do I find partnerships? If you're going to do it with link acquisition as one of your objectives there, then I would certainly steer clear of any organizations that don't have their own website. That's a real quick one, you know. As much as you may love that organization, and if it's close and near, dear to your heart, do it. But if link acquisition is one of your primary objectives and they don't have a website or have a really, really crumb-bum website that's, you know, a .wordpress.com or something crazy like that, you may not have to go down that road. Find people that have legitimate websites out there. And then you want to evaluate these potential organizations to see how they're current linking back to their partners and sponsors or how they're currently linking. If it's all the links are on one partner's page, okay, cool. No biggie. We know that's probably where our link's going to end up. That's fine. But if they put up individual blog posts about their events and then link to the local business from there, that piques my interest a little bit more. Seems like they're going to be putting out a lot of content, and if we do maybe, you know, 6 to 10 events with these guys at the SPCA donation center, we might be able to pick up ASPCA links here over the next year. So good for them. Good for you. So if you know an organization that you really want to partner with, just go do a little detective work before diving too deep into something and, you know, really trying to close that deal. Then once you've done that stuff, hey, you can start pulling some link exports. And what I mean by this is start pulling a list of all the sites that link back to your site so you can see when you lose a link or acquire new links. And there's three good tools that you're going to want to use for this. I like Open Site Explorer from Moz. I like Majestic, and I like Ahrefs. If you go there, you type in your website, boom, it'll spit out all the sites that are linking to you. But you don't have to just pull your links to see when you lose them or when you acquire them. Hey, you know, you can pull any website on the internet's links, including your competitors. So after you pull those links for your competitors and you know who's kicking your tail in your market, like, man, that guy across town just shows up in front of me for everything. Cool. Pull his links. See what's going on. And then manually evaluate them. Go see all the sites that are linking back to them and put your eyes on those websites. And if you see a link that your competitor's getting that you don't have, just grab any low-hanging fruit. If it's easy to get, go get it. Like, oh, okay, cool. They got some link from militarycardealers.us. Well, cool. I'm right next to an Air Force base, and I offer military discounts. I should be on this website, too. Great. How did you miss that? Now you don't. So that's an easy thing that you can do there. Just grab any low-hanging fruit. See who your competitors have, and also see what other successful car dealers in the area are doing or across the country. You might be able to identify some patterns. So what you're going to see is that, hey, okay, these guys have a lot of links from golf tournaments, or these guys are hosting classes at their dealerships for the community college, and they're getting tons of high-quality .edu links, like one a month. It's really cool. So if you start identifying patterns, then you can start identifying ways that you can actually just beat your competitors. So the more you evaluate their links, the more you evaluate your links, and the links of other successful car dealers across the country, you can start to identify, develop strategies and tactics that align with the opportunities available to you and the operations at your dealership. So if you guys know that you don't do Toys for Tots donation centers and you don't ever want to, cool, then you can just mark that one off the list. It's not going to align with your dealership's operations, even though it's an opportunity. So you want to find opportunities that align with the way your dealership operates, and then go get those links. So now we'll get into local citation. So, same question we had just a little bit ago. What is a citation? And traditionally, it's just a mention of your business online. And that's really usually going to be name, address, and phone number. It's usually going to be structured citations on Facebook, Google My Business, Yelp, stuff like that. Those are the big boys. But there's also unstructured citations. If somebody wrote a blog post about you guys and mentioned your name and address but then screwed up your phone number, search engines can see that stuff. So you want to try to fix that wherever you can. Oh, yeah, real quick. And that is commonly referred to as the NAP. You'll see it in parentheses over there on the right-hand side. So your NAP, name, address, and phone number, must be 100% consistent. This is just what Google recommends and what pretty much every expert agrees is, hey, the best strategy here. If you're trying to figure out, hey, is my NAP consistent? Is my address wrong somewhere? Is my phone number wrong somewhere? No problem at all. You can use moz.com/local/search, and you can use it free of charge. Just put your business name in there, put in your zip code, and it'll pull up a big list of inconsistencies, duplicate listings, and just give you a health report on how your citations are doing.
And just so we're clear, you say 100% consistent. I mean, you're saying, like, copy and paste, it should be exactly the same, right?
For name, address, and phone number, yes.
Okay.
That's actually a really good question.
I'm just going to stop you right here and ask you this one. Lisa wrote in. She says, NAP, must N and North or ST for street and street be the same? Once it's set, is it difficult to change on some sites? So when you say exactly the same, how exact are we talking?
So you should enter it into those sites the exact same way. Now, some of those websites will determine that they don't really render S-T-R-E-E-T as S-T. They spell out full street, and other sources are going to say, no, we actually truncate anything that says street and make it S-T for essentially pixel constraints or something. So make it consistent when you're entering it, but it may change depending on how that particular provider displays that information. But that's little stuff, the N and the S-T. Search engines are getting better about differentiating that. But as long as you always input the information consistently, should be good to go.
Thank you, Steve. Lisa just wrote
in.
Awesome. All right. On your way.
Yeah. Cool. So then I always like to manually claim and verify listings. And there are tons of aggregators out there that can, you know, duplicate suppress and do all that kind of stuff. That's great. Use those tools if they're available to you. That's fine. I still like to go manually claim and verify all my big boy listings, and then as many listings as I can below that. And so then once you've done that, you say, hey, I've claimed my Google, my Yelp, my Facebook, my Foursquare, everything under the sun, because there's a bajillion of these things. Then you want to start building new citations. And really, there are so many citation opportunities. Use this website right here. It is whitespark.ca. That's probably my favorite one for identifying new opportunities. And it's super simple. You can rapid fire in keywords. So if your dealership does any of these things right here, hey, do you do window tints? Do you brake jobs? Offer military discounts? Free Wi-Fi? Body shop? Auto loans? Oil changes? Rental cars? There are citation sources for this stuff everywhere, and probably even local citation sources that you didn't even know about. And maybe you'd find them if you were pulling a link export for a competitor or a citation export for them, but maybe not. You just found the new opportunity because you went in, rapid-fired in, window tint, and told WhiteSpark to pull up a list of citation opportunities in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it said, hey, here's a list of 30 sites that we think could be good if you're offering window tints in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Then you just have to manually evaluate them. But they are all opportunities. And so when you evaluate them, all you're looking for is, hey, does this look like a really, really spammy website? And there are some metrics you can use on that. You can go to Moz's Open Site Explorer, drop in their website, and see, okay, is the spam score really high? But sometimes the spam score is wrong. So just kind of look at it. Use your best judgment and say, you know, I think if somebody landed on this website and they were trying to find window tint in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they saw our listing here, they might click on it. And so if it brings traffic to your site that's legitimate and it's local, go for it. So we're going to move to review signals real quick. Again, we'll just touch on review and social media a little bit here. So essentially, it's just negative sentiment hurts. It really does. And there's one quick fix for this, or the best fix. It's not going to stop everybody because there are nut bars out there, and you all know this. But the best fix is to stop being shady. If you are getting a lot of reviews, negative reviews about the same issue at your dealership, you guys already know this. Just, hey, let's try to address that issue so that we stop seeing it in all of our reviews there. But there are crazy people out there. Normal people forgive mistakes, but shadiness is pretty hard to combat online. If you've got a bunch of those that are saying you're ripping people off or running their credit score 150 times on accident or something like that, it gets tricky if that's a common occurrence, unfortunately. And people don't really care too much about harmless service reviews. They don't scare away car buyers. If people see that, hey, my oil change took 30 minutes longer than it was supposed to, that's an honest mistake. That is no big deal. But they do worry about some of the other big stuff, especially if you don't have any response to it. So if they see a long list of negative reviews without a response, that will scare people away. You want to start listening and responding to these haters. Avoid the nut bars. If they're just saying crazy stuff and it's some guy's ex-girlfriend who's just mad, leave them alone. Don't worry about it. But anybody else that's voicing legitimate concerns that feel that you looked at and said, man, that is a customer. I remember them coming in. That's a customer. Dang it. You got to listen. You got to respond to them. And then address their concerns and offer a next step. That's really the easiest thing to do here.
Online. So that other people can see it, right?
Correct. Exactly. Because all of this is just essentially, hey, we don't want to scare off future car buyers. Because that's when most people are going to be coming to read these reviews is, okay, I found a car I like. I found a car dealer I like. Let me just go check out some of the review profiles real quick. And if they see a laundry list of bad stuff, you could lose a sale right there. And you never even got them through the door. You never even had a sales guy get to talk to them and try to close that deal. They got lost because somebody didn't put up a review response and because a bad review just lingered out there.
Nick wrote in, so are you saying that if the customer is really off his rocker with the review and just some crazy ex, do we not reply to that review?
Correct, pretty much. You could post a generic response, and you know that after you post this generic response, they're just going to flame you again. They're going to come back and respond to that, and they're going to be mad. So as long as they're not mentioning anything specific, you know, that says, oh, they always do this. They grease their guys for fake reviews or something like that. If they're saying that, address it immediately. Like, address something that's a legitimate, specific concern. But anything else like that, no. Just let it go. Because you know what's going to happen. You're going to post a generic response or you're going to post some kind of response. It's only going to make things worse. You're just going to keep posting other crazy stuff. Or he, you know, doesn't matter what. They're going to do crazy stuff online. So just leave them alone. They're trying to get you to engage in those instances. And if you lose one or two sales because of that crazy ex-girlfriend thing, then I doubt there was going to be a way that you could respond that might have saved that. You know, that kind of thing. Like, just get the generic response up at a minimum. But, yeah, if it's really crazy and nut-bar-y, leave it be.
Nut-bar-y. Nick says, gotcha. And Heather commented, she says, my favorite is when customers publicly apologize for their nasty review for the silliest of reasons. So let's hope they're...
Okay.
Let's hope they're always like that. At least they go and apologize.
So it doesn't just have to... That's right. And it does happen. So you don't want to just respond to the negative reviews either because... Yeah, people could make buying decisions based off that, but they also make buying decisions based off how you're responding to people that actually went and bought a car and had a good time there as well. So respond as quickly as possible to all your reviews. Those people took time to come back to your site afterwards, leave you guys a review, so leave them a custom response there. And one of my worst, I hate seeing just thanks. And if they give you, if all they write is great dealership, exclamation point, okay, you're in the clear, you're fine. Address them by name and say thank you for your wonderful feedback, we're happy you had a great time. But if they give you legit details like, hey, I had an awesome time with Jay Novacek at his Ford dealership, he sold me the greatest truck in town, I can't believe that guy actually came into the dealership, it's amazing. So if that happens, say, oh man, we're so glad you came by the dealership on the day Jay decided to come in, amazing, can't believe he sold you a Ford, incredible. Not just thanks, that kind of thing. And at the end of this, hey, just trying to make sure that you don't give anybody a two-star experience, because I know you guys here, anything you do, you don't want a two-star experience. I don't want a two-star experience anywhere. So just always go for that five-star experience. You should be good. So now let's look at social media signals. We'll briefly touch on this. And I know what you're thinking. It's all pay-to-play nowadays. Organic posts don't get near as much reach. And that's true. The amount of ad targeting and the amount of things you can do to convert from Facebook is really incredible. But the organic posts still do matter a ton. And you just want to post every day, mainly to engage with fans. And that's the key there. If they're fans of you guys, they probably already bought a car from you. So don't hit them with 100% promo post to buy another car and stuff like that. We follow a pretty standard 80-20 rule here, and that's 80% of the time we do engaging content, and then 20% of the time, that's when you do your promotional content. I like to do it on Fridays and Saturdays. That way, if somebody does buy a car on Saturday afternoon or something, and then they go like your Facebook page on Sunday morning or after they buy your car on Saturday, for the next 5 days there between Sunday and Thursday, they're just going to get engaging posts, cool factoids, maybe cool information about automotive news that isn't necessarily related to buying a car from you guys, just anything that they're going to find useful. So if you're a Jeep dealer, you've got stuff for days. Those Jeep evangelists get tons out of cool Throwback Thursday posts, just cool little tips and tricks that you can do with your Jeep, all that kind of stuff. So look at what's going to work with your audience and try to post more of that during the bulk of the week there, and focus only about 20% of the time on promo content. And then that wraps me up, brings me to my final SEO poll question here.
Ooh, last poll question up on the screen right now. All right, everyone, we want to know, how do you feel about the overall success of your basic SEO efforts right now? Please select one of the following. Do you think you're doing great because you did all of those things that Steve just talked about? Do you think you're doing pretty good, you guess? But, you know, you could definitely be better. There's always room for improvement. How about meh? We don't suck at it, but we're not great either. Ouch, not good. We're definitely just limping along. Or dull. Pretty poor. We definitely need help. Steve, I need to hear your dull. I can't do it. That's pretty good. All right. Once we get a majority of votes in, we're going to close the poll and share the results. We want to know how you think you're doing with your basic SEO efforts right now. Do you think you're doing great because you hit all of those things out of the park? You're doing pretty good, but definitely room for improvement. Middle of the road, we don't suck at it, but we're not great either. Less than average, not so good, limping along. Or, Steve, do it again for me.
No.
Pretty poor, we definitely need help. And this is towards the very end of Steve's presentation, so if you haven't gotten in your questions yet about SEO, whether it's basic or not, Steve's here to help you, all right? So send those questions in, and we're going to get to them in just a few moments. All right, Steve, are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do it. All right. 11% of today's audience feel that they're doing great with their basic SEO. They're doing all those things you just talked about. Now, the majority, 49%, almost half, feel that they are doing pretty good with their basic SEO, but they could definitely see a few places where they could improve. 30% of today's audience, about a third, says, well, we're kind of middle of the road. We don't suck, but we're not great either. 8% of today's audience think that they're not doing really well at all, and 3%, they're pretty much failing. All right. Steve, is that what you were? Let me tell you something. When people come up and talk to you, like I've seen tons of people come up and talk to you at conferences, right? And they start showing you their websites and getting your opinions on different things. Do you find that many dealers are, in fact, doing a pretty good job, or do you feel like some people just aren't even getting the basic stuff right?
I'd say people know kind of what they're supposed to do. So they've made a lot of these changes at times, but I said I pop people the most on just little stuff. So I'd say most people are in the middle of the road kind of area where they're clearly trying. There's just some stuff they could fix up, like dealership name at the front, too many cities and title tags, meta descriptions of bajillion characters long. Little stuff like that. So I can always tell that, hey, maybe somebody's been in here, somebody's been trying really hard, but could always use improvement.
Okay. So our poll results are pretty right on then, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Back to you.
Excellent. So that did wrap up the official portion of the slides here, so I'm going to give you guys some suggested resources to look at moving forward. Take a look at moz.com/blog. Always got tons of useful stuff about basic and advanced SEO. Then Search Engine Land. They've got a whole section devoted to all their local SEO blogs. This will probably be the most applicable to you guys. And look at Distilled U. That is a basic SEO introduction course. Take that. There are lots of really good videos in there that will help you guys a bunch if you are just trying to dig into this and you want to know a lot more than you can learn in a one-hour webinar.
Oh, that's
Distilled U is a great, great product. And then dealeron.com/blog. My boss puts up these great Wednesday workshop videos, and then we always have a ton of other content coming out on the blog as well. But the Wednesday workshop videos traditionally deal with all local SEO. So if you're real interested in that stuff, come back on Wednesdays. It's usually SEO, PPC. Occasionally there's a few other videos on there, but really, really useful, relevant stuff. So we'll move to our quick action items for today. If you just came through this webinar and wanted to take a few things away of how to impact all the areas that you needed to, hey, just quickly evaluate your homepage. Fix any spam, default content, or missing assets. So alt attributes, title tag, maybe the H1 isn't optimized or says welcome to my new website. Take a look at that stuff, fix it, and we've got a cool handout at the end of this thing. There'll be a local SEO checklist for you guys. We'll have all that stuff on there. Then start actively building local links. Like I mentioned, just, hey, check with all the organizations and people you're already partnered with. Do a little detective work, some standard due diligence. Make sure you're getting all those links. And then from there, start building new ones. If they start actively cleaning and building your citation, just using Moz Local, finding any inconsistencies or incomplete listings, building them out, and correcting any of those inconsistencies. Then if you're not responding to all positive and negative reviews, definitely start that. Helps a bunch. As it, people do make buying decisions based off of those things, so be personable, try to make it as custom as possible, and address their concerns. And then, hey, get out there and start posting daily on social media. Don't feel like you have to come up with 30 posts a month about Kias because it can be hard. You know, think about your local area. Do Throwback Thursdays. If you're in a cool market that has history, you were an old West town or something like that, cool. There's probably some cool old postcards or old coins or old history. Like, talk about your local market. It doesn't have to be car-related. It can be factoids. It can be all kinds of cool stuff. So just experiment with it and be nimble. If something didn't work, don't try it 20 more times. Try something else, you know. Just be nimble. Start posting daily. And then if you want a quick free local SEO mini audit, just email me personally. My email is up here on the screen. It is sshackelford@dealeron.com. And all you have to do is include your website URL and dealership name. This is a free, no-obligation mini audit.
Wow, that's great. Audience, you should definitely do that. That is free SEO audit for you. That is awesome. That's really generous of you, Steve. Thank you.
My pleasure.
I hope you're okay with, like, a ton of people writing to you right now.
Oh, no problem at all.
Okay.
I hope they like funny videos. Do you guys like funny videos? I have so many funny videos.
I bet you do.
Cool. And then we are on to our Q&A section here.
Ah, wonderful. All right, well, you take a drink of water because we got a ton of great questions that came in from the audience. So you're going to be in Q&A for just a little while, all right? Before we get to that, I want to remind the audience about the handouts section. If you haven't yet, gone over to the handout section, do so now. We got two great handouts for you. One, of course, is Steve Shackelford's slide deck that you just saw, so you can download that. And the second one is actually a checklist that he made for you. It's Local SEO Homepage Checklist. You can download both of those until the very end of the broadcast, so take the time and do that now. If you haven't gotten in your questions yet for Steve, now would be a great time to do it. Like I said, we're going to get to those questions in just a moment. Before we do that, though, we got something fun for you guys. If you were here at the beginning of the webinar, then you heard me announce that our good friends over at AutoHook are sponsoring this week's webinar giveaway. AutoHook is a showroom traffic driver, and they've built the ultimate attribution engine, which tracks the customer through the lead, the showroom visit, and the purchase, and then delivers a cost per sale that's best in the industry. One of you lucky webinar attendees is going to win a $250 e-gift card from our friends at AutoHook. So all you have to do is get ready, get to your keyboards. First person to write in the correct response will be winning this awesome prize today. If you are a vendor, we love having you on the Dealer On webinars. Of course, you're always welcome to come to our webinars, but we're going to ask you to please sit this out. This prize is intended for dealership personnel only. All right, everyone, here we go. We got one prize to give out, one lucky winner coming up. I hope you guys took great notes. The answer has three answers. So here is the question. Good luck, everyone. Earlier in the presentation, Steve mentioned three tools that you could use for pulling link exports. Name them. Wow. Yes, first person to write in the correct response is... Wait, let me just double check this. Ahrefs. Yeah, that's it. Max Nunn. Max Nunn, you are today's winner. Congratulations. I had to double check because I thought you put it in wrong. But nope, that's right. Max Nunn, congratulations. You are today's winner. The correct response was Moz Majestic and Ahrefs, which is exactly what he wrote in. Max Nunn, why don't you write on in and let me know what dealership you're from so I can give you a proper congratulations. Thank you, everyone, for playing along. We got some really cool prizes every week. I know we only had one prize today, but you know what? We give away a cool prize all the time, every single week. So come on back to another Dealer On webinar, and who knows, that could be the week you win a cool prize on a Dealer On webinar. Right now, though, we're going to congratulate today's winner, Max Nunn. He is checking in from Volkswagen of St. Augustine. Congratulations. Thank you, everyone, for playing along. Big congrats to Max, and of course, we got to thank our good friends over at AutoHook for their incredible generosity. And for more information about AutoHook, you can check out driveautohook.com. All right, Steve, are you ready for this?
Oh, you know it.
I know you are. And it's so funny because I did, you know, we got so many questions that you were able to answer during the show, so thank you so much for taking the time to do that. We still have a ton of questions for you now. So here we go. Your first question comes in from Lisa. Lisa says, are these things he's discussing, title tags, something that DealerOn is doing for their clients? Well, thank you for the question, Lisa.
There are some basic template things that we'll do and update our templates regularly. But I always recommend that somebody from the dealership take a manual approach to this, identify the keywords, look at if it's actually the way that people are searching for stuff in your area. So if you're in Charleston, South Carolina, maybe we didn't catch that people are searching for Low Country Toyota, but you know that because you're in that area. So most of our stuff's primarily going to be templated with like a, you know, keyword phrase plus city state, whatever cities you declare in our database or whatever metro, those get added to your title tag. But no software provider really goes in on a manual basis for each individual site and updates those, really because you do want to do some kind of keyword research first or have somebody in the local area who knows, oh no, people search for, you know, Honda OKC. Nobody searches Oklahoma City. That's way too long. So stuff like that just helps cater it more to what your local audience is actually looking for.
Right. Okay. Lisa, if you have a follow-up, she already wrote in thanks. All right. So, Lisa, you got a follow-up question? Let me know, all right? All right, next question comes in from Sharpie. Hey, Sharpie. He says, is there a certain location on the homepage that the map should be placed?
Good question. No, not really. Just don't make it obtrusive and make it big enough to where it shows the review stars. Because if you embed it too small, and it's probably not going to show up on mobile with the review stars there, but on desktop you want it to be at least, I think, 360 pixels wide on desktop so that it shows the review stars there. But really no specific place that it needs to be. I certainly wouldn't put it at the very, very top of the page, so I kind of like it right next to the content, right aligned, or in a column to the right is where I tend to prefer it. But from an optimization standpoint, just experiment with it. You know, so if you feel like, oh, okay, people really like it down here, you know, it seems like they're engaging with it, awesome. But you know, just move it around and see.
Wonderful. David, if you have a follow-up question, you know we always love to hear from you. Okay, the next question, I don't know if I'm going to say his name right. David says, thank you, sir. The next question is from Atis. Well, we'll see if I said that right or wrong. Atis says, is there any citations that have a higher value than others?
Oh, definitely. So, for example, if you were starting a brand new dealership and you didn't have a Google My Business profile, that's a really, really strong citation. Get that. Same thing with Foursquare. Even though people don't use it anymore, it is still an important local citation. So some of those bigger guys that have been around for a long time, Yelp is a review site, but it's still a citation source. Make sure you've got all those claimed, because those are the highest quality citations. And then as you move down, you'll find more vertical specific stuff where you're like, oh, okay, this is OklahomaToyotaDealers.com. That clearly doesn't carry as much weight and value as Google.com, but it is relevant to me and vertical specific.
Wonderful. All right. And Atis has a follow-up question. He says, is there an easy way to find citations that are linking to you?
Yes. So, and I probably glossed over that. Using that same tool I showed you earlier, whitespark.ca, in addition to being able to find potential citations, you can also put in your own business name or your business phone number, and it'll pull up a big list of all your existing citations.
Wonderful.
And you can do that exact same thing with your competitors.
And
do that too. Go ahead. WhiteSpark is a paid tool, but I believe if you're only doing it for one dealership and you don't have a ton of exports, you can get it pretty cheap, you know, $9.99 a month or $19.99 a month, something like that, and then it goes up from there. But it's not extremely expensive for one or two dealerships.
Oh, okay, wonderful. All right, next question comes to you from, Tommy. Tommy says, how can you find the title code for my website? How can you change any of the mistakes or errors? I think you kind of went over it, but maybe a little refresher course for Tommy?
I did, and it depends on your platform. So if, for example, you're on a DealerOn website, then that'll be in the SEO options at the right-hand side with the little pencil icon next to the page you want to edit there. On dealer.com, for example, it's going to be up at the top. DealerFire would be a WordPress one, so that's going to be at the bottom of your content page there. There will be SEO options there for your title tag. So it really does depend on your platform and your provider.
Okay. All right, Tommy, if you have a follow-up question, let me know. All right, next question comes to you from, today's winner, Max. He says, when you were talking about NAP, he wanted to know what should we do about tracking numbers?
That's really up to you. You always want to do a local call tracking number everywhere, and then you want to get the source from parsing the text transcripts. So I know right now a lot of dealers say, well, hey, I've got to have these OEM-mandated numbers, and they make me put 877s on the header of my website, and then I got to have a different 877 for Yelp and all this other stuff like that. That's going to cause issues. It's infecting the ecosystem out there. So what you want to do, you want to find one local call tracking phone number. That's it. And that's pretty much the answer to it. If you're trying to get source attribution, use the text transcripts. Have people who are answering the phone say, how did you hear about us? That way you can still get the recordings. You can still get the text transcripts for it. And you've got one consistent number everywhere out there. Additionally, you can find local call tracking companies that will allow you to purchase that phone number. You definitely want to do that, because you don't want to just cancel your contract with that provider after a year and all of a sudden your phone number is now attached to a plumber, and it's screwing up your citation profile as well. So that's the most prudent strategy. Now, if you are getting a ton of value out of your 877s and you just say, you know what, I don't care. I don't care about NAP consistency. I get so much value out of my 877s, then go for it. You know, keep your 877s. The way I frame it to people is if somebody's right in the middle of the city and they're looking for a Toyota dealer and there's two, he's equally distant from both of them there. One on the east side, one on the west side. They got equally good content. They got equally good links. They've got equally good reviews, equally good citations as far as volume and quality. But guy on east side of town has only one phone number listed everywhere. Very authoritative. Guy on west side of town has maybe 20 different phone numbers on all these different citation sources. Little less authoritative there. And at the end of the day, this search algorithm is just a big math problem. So if everything in the math problem is equal, but that one thing is the fly in the ointment, fix it, you know, that kind of thing. But it's really up to you. Recommendations are one phone number everywhere.
Gotcha. All right, Max, good luck with that. By the way, recap for our last question from Tommy. He said, awesome, thank you for the answer, but I think that my web provider doesn't have that option in their back end. All right. Thank you.
Can I ask who his provider is? Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Because they might. You may just not know where to access it. Who you got, dealer, process, who you're rocking with.
Tommy, right back in when you get a chance. Ooh, I've never even heard of that one. ProTads.
I'm unfamiliar with them, and I do not know their back end intimately at all. So what I would do is find your support email for those guys and just send them that request. Say, hey, can you point me to an interface where I can update my title tags? And if they say they don't have that ability, follow up with me. I'll show you how you can send them HTML docs and just say, hey, no, for real. You've got to go into the HTML doc then, and you've got to fix these title tags if you want them changed, and then tell them that they should probably update their platform in some way, shape, or form. But I'm hoping they'll just write back and say, sir, all you have to do is go over here, and there's this little SEO thing. It just wasn't clearly labeled. I'm hoping that's what probably happens there.
Oh, I hope so, too. Tommy, let us know what happens. I don't know what that means. He wrote DLD websites. I don't know what that means. Okay, well, in either case, Tommy, I wish you the best of luck, all right? Let me know if there's anything else we can do for you. All right, next question comes to you, Steve, from Heather. Heather says, do you recommend using third-party companies for review responses, or would you prefer a company to do their own?
It's really up to you guys and how much time you're spending on it right now. So if your velocity is so high, and I do have a couple dealers like this where, man, it's 20, 30 reviews legitimately a day, then you may need to either hire somebody full-time to do that or find an agency that can provide a quality service at a better cost. So just look for quality. That's the biggest key there, because there are tons of companies that will do it for you, and they will happily just post thank you for your feedback over and over and over again. So I like having third parties do it for a lot of reasons. I represent a third party that handles a lot of other dealerships' responses, and I'm not emotionally invested in any of those instances one bit. So all I'm concerned about when I write that response is, how is this going to look to the original poster and future car buyers? That's it. So I don't care that it was somebody's ex-girlfriend and I'm really mad at them and I want to show the whole world that they're whatever. So I like having third parties do it. You just have to find the right ones that are going to focus on quality there. And if you feel like you're not getting the quality, go back and take it in-house. Also, if your velocity is pretty low, you're in a small market where just not a lot of tech-savvy people that are leaving a lot of reviews, you probably don't need to go spend the money on a third-party agency if you're getting one review a month in some random town in Wyoming. No big deal. Happens. You could just do it in-house then.
Gotcha. All right. Heather, we hope that helps you out. She wrote in great. Thank you. All right. Still got a ton of questions for you, Steve, so hang tight. Next question comes to you from Amanda. Amanda says, how many blog posts do you recommend that we write a week?
There's no magic number on that. I would say just whatever is legitimately useful to you guys. I like one post a week no matter what to go out, and half the time I write about automotive news or news related to the dealership. So if it's a Jeep dealer, there's going to be some Jeep posts in there. And then the other half of the time, I just talk about the local area. That way, if somebody does land on the blog, it's not just beating people over the head with Jeep stuff over and over and over again. And it doesn't have to be automotive related at all. It could be, you know, the top five softball teams to join for adults in, you know, in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina or something like that. Those work, and people actually land there and get something useful out of it. Are they going to buy a car? Heck no, they're not going to buy a car. They weren't trying to buy a car there. But it made your blog a place for people to come get local content, which is good for your overall domain. So I like one a week, but then do as many other ones as you have. So let's say you're doing three events in a given week. You've got a golf tournament on Friday. You've got an SPCA donation coming in on Saturday morning. Each of those items deserves its own blog. So on some weeks, you may have three blogs that posted that week. No big deal. But you don't have to try to keep that velocity up all the time. So one a week and then ad hoc for as many cool things that you have going on at the dealership.
All right, cool. One a week. All right. Since we're on the subject of blogs, I'm going to skip around and get these other couple questions about blogs. Heather wrote in, do you recommend connecting a blog to your site to increase search results?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, all right.
100%.
You are?
100%.
All right. And another question about blogs. Heather said that was easy. Another question about blogs comes in from Chris. Chris says, hey, Steve, for blogs, do posts about local restaurants or places to visit have value, or should we keep it on the subject of cars?
100% they have value. I like them a bunch. Because you don't have to write about just cars all the time. As if somebody lands on your site and gets something useful out of it, awesome. That helps your site show up as a locally relevant site. And it just helps you talk about the city without, you know, framing it as kind of like a spammy, oh, and car buyers in city state always love driving around these locations. No, just talk about stuff that's going on in town. And I've seen some good ones work. If you're the first guy to the party and writes about the top five Christmas tree farms in town where you can cut down your own tree, we win that search all Christmas long. And it's ridiculous. We're just taking down the other, you know, so it doesn't matter what it is. Just work in two or so a month, and, yeah, they work well. But you know going in that they're not there to help you convert on that visit. Many times these are single-use visitors that are going to come in, get that list of Christmas tree farms, and then bail out. But, hey, you know, 8 months down the line when they are thinking about service, maybe you subliminally put them in. I'm sorry?
I said it's once you have that kind of an article, that's great to share on social.
Oh, yeah. Any article you write, you should definitely be sharing on social at least 3 to 6 times. Post it the day you write it on, you know, let's say they all go up on Thursdays. Post it that Thursday, kick people back, and then schedule it out at least 2 or 3 more times that month just on random days, maybe once on a Monday morning, test it another time at Friday night on another one, and just look at what works. See when you're getting clicks back to the site from your social channels.
Chris, great question. Thank you. All right, we're down to about a handful of questions now. Let's see, this one from Brad. Ooh, Brad got a good question. Mozcast says there was a major Google update on September 1st. Google confirmed that it wasn't a Penguin update. Any idea what changed?
No, right now I've seen a lot of fluctuation over the last 4 or 5 days, and as you said, they confirmed that it was not a Penguin update. So I've seen a little bit of local fluctuation, but I don't have a firm answer as to what it was right now. Now,
I know that we have some people from Google actually visiting our head office today. So, Brad, stay tuned because we do have the Q4 automotive marketing briefing. And if anyone would know the answer to that question, it would definitely be our CEO. So we'll probably have the straight skinny on that coming up. I think it's October 3rd that we have the Q4 automotive marketing briefing. All right. So thanks so much for the great question, Brad. I'll see you guys in Dallas on October 5th. I love it. Thanks so much, Brad. All right, a couple more questions for you. A few more, I should say. Heidi wrote in, would you suggest keeping all local links, as in businesses we have sponsored or donated to, on a community landing page, or how would you handle that? How do you do local links? What would you suggest, Steve?
It's really up to you. I like to do like I mentioned, for that SPCA, that golf tournament stuff, I like to do links on individual blog posts about that event. So let's say you're working with an organization and you've got 3 events that you're going to work with them on that year. If you want to have them on the partners page, that's fine, but they're going to get more value out of you giving them that sole link or one of maybe 2 or 3 links on those blog posts, because probably your partners, your family page, has maybe, 20, 30, 40 links, maybe 50 or 100, that can start looking a little bit spammy to search engines as well. So I like to trim that down to only the biggest and best boys. So if you've got 100 partnerships and organizations and 5 or 10 of them give you guys quite a bit of money, feature those 5 or 10 on the, like, main sponsors page, and then just let all your other people know, hey, we give you guys links if they're asking you about it. We give you guys links every time we do an event with you guys. We write a blog post about it, and we always link to your website from there. That's where I like to give people the links.
Okay, Heidi, I hope that helps you out. Heidi says, our dealership does not currently have a blog. Are we way behind?
Not way behind, but I would go ahead and add one as quickly as possible.
Way to put it gently, Steve.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I mean, so way behind. I mean, if you said you were focusing all your efforts on MySpace, I'd say you're way behind. But no, you can start an impactful blog tomorrow. You'll be just fine.
All right, cool. All right, Heidi, good luck with that. Update comment came in from Chris. Chris was the one who had asked about, hey, local restaurant reviews or, you know, on your blog,
sure. Recipes,
you know, is that value, you know. So Chris wrote in, thanks, Steve, you've changed my mind. And then he went on to say, is there a magic length for blogs to get noticed in SERPs?
Not to get noticed by any means, depends on what the subject matter is, but I typically like 250 words at a minimum is what I like to do. 400 to 500 is nice. Don't get too verbose with it. If you're over 500 and you're getting into the 1,000 range, think about breaking it into two pieces, do a part one and part two. It's typically what I like, but there's no magic number.
Okay. Chris, thank you so much for the great questions. All right, next one comes in from Tommy. This is a pretty easy one to answer, I think. He says, should we be using analytics?
Oh, God, yeah. And again, I didn't touch on any of that stuff because it is only a one-hour webinar. Please make sure you have analytics set up on your account and that you have access to it. And just start looking at how many people are coming to your site. And, again, there are Google Analytics tutorials on Google.com. They will walk you through all that stuff and just start playing with it. I always tell people, it's just like a program. You're on Facebook every day for 3 hours. You probably know the ins and outs of Facebook pretty well. The more you play in analytics, the easier it will become for you to navigate. You'll say, oh, man, I didn't even know they had that feature. And then you'll figure it out. Just keep working on it as much as you can. So, yes, get analytics set up.
I love it. All right, Tommy, thank you so much. If you have a follow-up question, we're here for you. Last couple of questions for you, Steve. This one is coming in from Renee. Is some of this you can do through AdWords? That is exactly what Renee wrote.
Oh, well, I mean, if you just want to show up at the top of the page, when we looked at that SERP anatomy stuff and you saw those ads at the top there, that's all your AdWords stuff. So, yeah, at any point in time, you can just pay to be number one. As long as you have a quality result and you outbid the next guy, you can get to be number one all day long. Unfortunately, you will lose that number one spot as soon as you stop paying for it. So, yeah, you can achieve number one rankings all day long with pay-per-click and AdWords.
And it'll cost you. And what we're talking about.
That's right.
Yeah. What we're talking about is, you know, it's just your man hours, and it doesn't really, you know, other than that, doesn't really cost you anything. It's just a little bit of elbow grease, right?
That's it.
All right.
Chipping away at it. No magic bullet.
Last, not a question, but a comment came in from Lisa. She says, I love to hear about the links. I just added some to our current blog. Good going, Lisa. Congratulations. I hope that works out for you. Steve Shackelford slayed it today. Thank you. Your Q&A session was awesome, by the way. Thank you so much for being here and laying down the important information about basic SEO for all of us. I can feel, honestly, that I am no longer a noob. Thank you, Steve.
No problem at all.
All right, everyone, thank you so much for being here today. I want to remind all of you that a link to download a copy of this webinar recording is going to be emailed to you later today for your reference. Feel free to share it with your friends and colleagues. It was an awesome one. Today's webinar is also going to be posted online within 24 hours. So just go to dealeron.com/webinars. You can view our upcoming webinar schedule, which, by the way, is awesome. And you can access any of our past webinars, too. Also, at the conclusion of this webinar, in just a moment, you're going to get a short survey. It is really 6 questions, so short. But you know what? It's really important to us. So I'm going to ask you, please, to fill it out because we're always looking for great feedback from you, our valued audience. We want to know what you thought of today's presentation, what we could be doing better, and maybe some other subjects that you'd like to hear a webinar about. So tell us what you think. We're waiting for it, all right? And I want to let you all know the Internet Sales 20 Group 9 Conference, It's coming up in Phoenix, Arizona, next week, September 12th to September 14th. And Dealer On's going to be there. That's right. We're an official sponsor this year. We're honored to send our very own Greg Gifford and Sean Raines to give some crazy good SEO and SEM presentations. They're also going to sit in on a special panel where they're going to dish out their tips and tricks and best practices. So if you're going to be there, you don't want to miss this chance to hear from the best in the industry. For tickets or more information, check out dealeron.com/IS20G9. We hope to see you there. And invitations will be going out tomorrow for our next Dealer On webinar. It's a doozy, too. How to build a winning culture in your dealership. Awesome topic. Smart dealers know that their most valuable asset is not the cars on the lot, but the employees in their dealership. And while they work tirelessly to differentiate themselves from their competition, whether it's through pricing or facility amenities or why-buy messaging, etc., there's a good argument to be made that the most important differentiator is the ability to build and sustain a winning culture within the dealership, a culture so positive and supportive that great employees simply just don't want to leave. Do you want to know how to build a winning culture in your dealership? During this inspiring one-hour session, Justin and Ben will discuss how to create, promote, and maintain a dealership culture that attracts highly qualified and skilled job seekers, and more importantly, keeps them motivated, productive, and happy. Ben and Justin will share dealership-proven strategies and practical tactics to improve the quality of employment applicants, reduce employee turnover, increase customer satisfaction, and ultimately improve your dealership's bottom line. A few of the many takeaways from this session include how to build and promote, particularly online, a company culture that appeals to highly qualified and skilled job seekers, especially millennials, and they'll also be covering effective ways beyond the pay plan to motivate your employees to accomplish your business's desired goals. So if you're ready to learn how to build a winning culture in your dealership, then this may just be the most important webinar you see all year. Don't you dare miss it. Now, don't forget, DealerOn's weekly webinars are held Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, and 9 a.m. Pacific. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions regarding our webinars and our topics, feel free to contact me directly. Again, my name is Eliana Raggio, and I would love to hear from you. So track me down online. I'm everywhere, Facebook, Twitter, Google+. I'm on all the automotive social networks. Or you know what? You can just email me directly at eliana@dealeron.com. Thank you all so very much for spending this time with us today, and I hope to see you all on another webinar in DealerOn's continuing education series. Take care.